This is the WGXC Congressional Report. Stories about the New York 19 Congressional District from the past week and Representative John Faso and his Democratic counterpart Antonio Delgado and other candidates in the race to be the representative in New York's District 19. The website 538.com currently reports that John Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 89.2% of the time. The website 538.com currently predicts that Faso has a 43.6% chance of winning re-election, rating Democrat Antonio Delgado's chances at 56.4% currently. This week, Representative John Faso talked on the WGXC airwaves with Holly Tanner and Justin Weaver, but before that, he was in a kerfuffle with a constituent. Television watchers and internet users locally may be familiar with Catskill resident Andrea Mitchell, who has been featured in ads from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee against Representative John Faso. Just after Faso took office in January 2017, protesters at his Kinderhook office marched down to his nearby home. Faso came out to talk to them, and Mitchell, who has several health issues, asked him not to vote against not allowing pre-existing conditions in the nation's health care plan. Quote, I promise, unquote, Faso said, although later he would vote for the Republican American Health Care Act that would have reduced coverage, though it failed by one vote in the Senate. Now Mitchell says Faso is attacking her personally. Quote, last week, Congressman John Faso in New York 19 posted a header on his website that was my name personally, not an attack on another candidate or a policy, but a direct attack on a private citizen and constituent, unquote, Mitchell wrote on Twitter. She posted the following YouTube video as a response.
Hi, my name is Andrea Mitchell. I am a woman living with disabilities in upstate New York. I have a neurological disability and a number of birth defects and pre-existing conditions. And I live in the 19th Congressional District in New York, which is currently represented by first-term Republican John Faso. So last year, I went to a rally at my congressman's house, and he came out and he really graciously answered questions from so many of us, and the rally was starting to get derailed a little bit, and so when he said I have time for one more question, I knew that it was my time to step up and explain to him how important the ACA was and how important its coverage really was for so many of us. This fight was not about me. It's a fundamental difference between the policies and actions of Congressman John Faso and myself. It's not about me. John Faso will never understand what it's like to stand up for your neighbors, to put yourself out on the line. I am vulnerable everywhere I go. I put my face out there voluntarily because I think that it is important to stand for people with disabilities, to stand for people with pre-existing conditions, to stand for people that are covered under the Medicaid expansion. I will continue to stand. You can continue to put whatever you want about me on your website. You can continue to tell your followers, your supporters, whatever you want about me. And I will continue to fight for healthcare in New York 19. And across this country, because it is that important. It's something that you will never understand because you are not the kind of congressman that shows up for us. And I think we deserve better. I hope that this cleared a few things up. If it didn't, you know where to find me. Just come at me.
That was a shortened version of the 10-minute video that Catskill resident Andrea Mitchell posted online October 7th in response to Faso's mentioning her on his website. Then on Wednesday, October 10th, Faso appeared on the Something to Talk About show with Holly Tanner and Justin Weaver on WGXC, and Justin Weaver asked him about the issue.
The other ad that's paramount is the young mom who was a cancer survivor She came to you, and this is the ad that we see all over the place, right. And she asked you to promise her that she wasn't going to lose her health insurance due to pre-existing conditions, and there was the promise made, and she ended up losing based on a vote that you had. Do you want to clear anything up for people that see these ads that don't know anything about you, that don't know anything about the story? What are we missing that's not being shown in the ad?
Well, what you're missing is right in fact in your question. The person in question was part of a group of about 300 people that were standing on my lawn in a January 2017, and she said, related to me, and I knew of this young lady because she grew up in our community. And she related that she had a medical condition that was quite serious, and I certainly sympathize with that. And I said to her, she said, promise me you're not going to take away the protections for pre-existing conditions or something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, I do promise. And indeed, the bill we voted on supports and protects people with pre-existing conditions. But the irony in this entire discussion is that she is not in the private insurance market. She's on Medicaid, and I know that because she told me she is on Medicaid. So if you're on Medicaid, there is no question as to eligibility based on your medical condition. It's strictly based on income. And so not only is the ad false, and I blame Delgado and Nancy Pelosi for this, it is false to suggest that the bill we voted on doesn't cover people with pre-existing condition, because it does. But it's ironic that they're using as an example someone who this doesn't even apply to because she's on Medicaid.
I was reading up on this, and it does cover pre-existing conditions, but it does put you into a separate pool where it's much higher of a cost.
That's an allegation, but that allegation is false as well.
Okay.
Again, here we have to discern, well, what are we talking about? What kind of insurance pool are you in? This issue doesn't even come up if the question is Medicare, Medicaid, or if you have employer-provided health insurance. And mind you, 165 to 170 million Americans have employer-provided health insurance. So this question doesn't even arise if you're in those categories. It only might potentially arise if you are in the individual insurance market. So there's a waiver provision that was in our bill that would apply in the individual insurance market in the small instance where someone has a pre-existing condition and they didn't maintain their continuous coverage. So if you can just conceptualize this in another context, the property and casualty context, if the tree falls on your house and you canceled your homeowner's insurance a month before, would you be able to go to the insurance company and say, oh, by the way, cover me now? I think we all know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. So the question was, how do you get people to, in the individual market, how do you get people to maintain their coverage? And if they don't maintain their coverage, should they be able to get insurance with a pre-existing condition? Our answer is yes, even in that category, they should be able to get it. And so there's a limited waiver situation that a governor could apply for. Frankly, it's a little getting a lot in the weeds here. I don't think under New York law, a New York governor would be able to apply for it, even if he or she wanted to. So the fact is that our bill protected people with pre-existing conditions. The example and this is Delgado and Pelosi, who are falsely accusing me of not doing so. And the example they use is a person who isn't even affected by this argument.
Right.
Because she's on Medicaid.
That was an excerpt of the WGXC interview with Representative John Faso, October 10th, with Holly Tanner and Justin Weaver on the Something to Talk About show. You can hear the entire interview online at WGXC.org in the audio archives.
Janaki Chadha is reporting for Politico New York. The New York Hotel and Motel Trades Council is spending $2 million to boost Democratic candidates' 5 House races. Approximately a quarter of the funding will come from the council's national counterpart, Unite Here. The union represents 40,000 hospitality workers in the region. The ads, which began running October 9th in New York, target Republican incumbents John Faso, Claudia Taney, and John Katko. Council President Peter Ward said in an emailed statement citing immigration policy, labor rights, and affordable health care, and I quote, Everything our union has fought for over the last few decades is at stake, end quote. The ads will condemn the Republican candidates on their health care records. A television spot focused on both Faso and Teeny denounces their 2017 votes in support of the Republican bill to repeal the Affordable Care Act. The ads will run on local radio stations, broadcast and cable televisions, as well as social media channels and other digital spaces. Faso campaign manager Tom Szymanski said the ACA, and I quote, failed to deliver on its promises, end quote, and cited Faso's work as a, and I quote, bipartisan problem solvers caucus where we have focused on developing a solution that protects Medicare, covers pre-existing conditions, and makes health care more affordable and accessible for every American, end quote. Read the full story at Politico New York. William J. Kimball in the Daily Freeman reports on the campaign of Diane Neal, the actor who was one of several candidates challenging Representative John Faso, first-term Republican, now representing New York's 19th congressional district. Neal is running on her own party line. The story contains one startling sentence, and I quote, Neal is a registered Democrat, but said she made several attempts to change her registration to non-affiliated, end quote. So she's running for Congress, but has not been able to fill out the form to change her party registration. Neal says infrastructure is among the district's biggest issues. She said, and I quote, since our district is often neglected, what is of immediate importance are the infrastructure that we need. Specifically, we need internet that is affordable and reliable, a competitive speed and connectivity, end quote. Democrat Antonio Delgado and the Green Party Steve Greenfield are also running against Faso on the November 6 ballot. Neal is best known for playing Assistant District Attorney Casey Novak on the Law and Order Special Victims Unit television show. Neal said, and I quote, without any kind of internet service to the majority of the district, people can't do their homework, just can't. You can't do any online education. You can't take advantage of any kind of online retail opportunities or remotely telecommunicate into work, end quote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. In the 19th congressional district race, the National Federation of Independent Business formally endorsed incumbent Republican John Faso for re-election. The Federation said Faso represents the best choice to represent small businesses in the district. The National Federation of Independent Business has been an advocate for small businesses for 75 years. The Daily Freeman reports that two of the four candidates for New York's 19th congressional district take questions from AARP members over the phone this week. Republican incumbent John Faso from Kinderhook takes calls from 2 to 3 p.m. October 11th. And Democrat Antonio Delgado from Rhinebeck fields questions from 11:10 a.m. until 12:10 p.m. on October 12. Only AARP members who received an invitation can ask questions, but anyone can listen by phoning 877-229-8493 and using PIN 18948. Green Party candidate Steve Greenfield and independent Diane Neal are not involved in the telephone talks. Faso held a telephone town hall of his own October 11th and also spoke with Holly Tanner and Justin Weaver on the WGXC radio show, Something to Talk About. You can hear that show in its entirety on the WGXC Newsroom website, newsroom.wgxc.org.
Here is a little bit more of the interview with John Faso, the incumbent Republican from Kinderhook who's running for re-election in the 19th Congressional District, with Holly Tanner and Justin Weaver on the Something to Talk About show, October 10th on WGXC.
Today we have, we're really super pleased that Congressman John Faso took a moment out of his busy schedule to come and talk with us. Hi, John.
Thanks, Holly. Great to be with you and Justin and your listeners today.
Well, what do you feel are some of your major issues, John? I know there's been some TV ads. Let's talk about the TV ads right off.
The major issue that I see in our district is we have high taxes in upstate New York and we have declining population. Every county among the 11 in our congressional district has lost population over the last 10 years.
It's the weather.
You're seeing this,
right?
You're seeing this in upstate New York generally. But I think when I talk to businesses and farmers, they're concerned about the workforce. And so getting a the right skill set for employers is really important. Agriculture is really pressed hard because we have to fix the migrant worker issue and the immigration issue generally, and I've been in the forefront on that. And, of course, healthcare is an issue for everyone because people are concerned about the cost and availability.
Right.
The main things that people that I've spoken to regarding having you on the show, you can't help if you're at home between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. and you're trying to watch your Modern Family or you're trying to watch Judge Judy, every 2 seconds there's an ad. And there's one from Republicans and there's one from Democrats. And Delgado's is attacking you. And yours seems to be focused on his lyrics from when he was a rapper. Do you want to talk about the ads? And
we can talk about anything you want, but those, the critique of his musical career are not my ads.
Right.
Those are ads that are done independent of my campaign. What I've focused on...
And that's important to know, too.
Yeah, right. And this distinction is often lost because the average person out there really doesn't understand or pay attention to who's paying for what.
Right.
So I'm happy to talk about any of these issues.
And... that's something good to know. So when they're coming out with these ads, they don't have to give you the final approval on. They put the ads out there.
Not even final, Justin. Not even beginning.
See, that's very important because a lot of people see something and they instantly say, "Aha! I can't believe you put that out there."
You are by law precluded from having any coordination or participation with outside independent groups. And this, by the way, I would mention, was a reform of the federal election law. So whenever I always enjoy hearing people with new proposals to, quote unquote, reform this system. Well, the system that we have today is the one that the reformers got what they wanted. They excluded parties from a lot of the direct involvement with candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And they created this system whereby you have these independent groups that raise and spend money that are separate, totally separate from candidates.
Right. Which is why you don't hear, "This message is approved by blah, blah, blah," or "I approve this message. I'm so-and-so." So if you don't hear that, then that candidate has nothing
to
do with that ad.
So
that's important.
Let's get to substantive questions, though.
Yeah.
Sure. Holly, go ahead.
Right. Well, so let's address the healthcare issue. I know that's been a hot topic, and there was an ad that was put out. I don't know who paid for it, but that says you, wanted to, let's talk about the age tax. Right, age tax
on
seniors.
That is a fake notion. There is no such thing as an age tax.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the concept of charging a 50 to 64 year old more is something that was embedded in the Affordable Care Act. Now, this is standard actuarial practice, actually. But let's step back a second. Who are we talking about in this? We're not talking about Medicare. We're not talking about Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about anyone that is in a group or a large group employer-based plan. We're talking about the individual health insurance market, which is about 7% of the insureds. And the way insurers traditionally price those policies, they price them according to actuarial risk. And just like 20-year-old males pay more for car insurance than 50-year-old males or 50-year-old women. Similarly, a 60-year-old person, male or female, will pay more in the individual market for health insurance than a 25-year-old male or female because actuarially, the older person is going to use more health insurance. And that concept is one of longstanding, and it was in the ACA. It was in the bill that I voted for in the House, but here's the rub. The New York State and Vermont are the only two states in the nation which by law preclude a health insurer from charging someone older in the individual market more than someone who is younger. So the argument that that there's an age tax in New York State, so-called, is absolutely false. And in fact, an independent fact checker labeled the accusation about the so-called age tax as being a false and misleading ad.
Okay.
We have a call.
Go ahead.
I was thinking, I think people are calling it the wrong thing. I think they are realizing what they don't want is older folks to have to pay more for health care. and they're calling it an age tax, and it's simply wrong wording.
Well, it's
because
not,
it's age
not,
banding,
it's
correct?
Not, it's not for Medicare. Again, it is the individual health insurance market, which is about 7% of insureds, and the individual market is the place where there has been the most volatility, both in price and in access. And I think one of the fundamental flaws of the Affordable Care Act, instead of going after the issue of affordability and access for the 40 million Americans that didn't have health insurance, they changed the market for 200 plus million Americans who did have health insurance. And that is where, you know, I've had many people say to me the ACA was good for them. They were able to either get in the Medicaid expansion or they were able to utilize one of the bronze or silver plans. However, I've had just as many people, if not more, tell me that their health insurance has just spiked tremendously. And what good is insurance if you have an $8,000 deductible and you're making $40,000 a year?
Right.
It's pretty hard to really use that insurance. So this is one of the issues that I think I hope if I'm reelected, we can address. I'm part of a thing called the Bipartisan Problem Solvers Caucus, and we've actually put forth proposals that centrist Democrats and Republicans actually support on reforming the insurance markets. So I'm hopeful that we can get something like that done next year.
I will say, in doing my research, there's over 400 folks. You're ranked number 18 as one of the most bipartisan,
right?
Out of 400 plus, so
435. I rank number 18.
Yes.
So when I introduce a bill, I will rarely introduce a bill unless I have a Democratic co-sponsor, either leading it or being part of it, because I think this is one of the fundamental problems in our country today. The left tends to listen and read the things they already agree with, mm-hmm. and the right tends to listen and watch and read the things they already agree with, and it becomes a self-confirming cycle, and people don't...
There's no middle ground, right?
And they don't
meeting
see
in
the middle ground. Mm-hmm. And what is the media, if you're on cable news or you're on the radio, one of the talk radio programs, what sells? What do you have to do if you're...
Controversy.
You've got to get eyeballs on your screen,
sure.
or listeners, okay?
Yeah.
And how do you do that? You sell controversy. You don't cover things that show compromise and coordination.
Right.
You show things that show polarization.
Right.
And so I firmly believe that we should act in a more bipartisan fashion, and that's what I've done consciously since I've gone to Congress.
Yeah, very good.
Do we have a call or do we don't have a call?
We had a question that
okay.
came in,
okay.
Which is, how do you feel about the ads that the national Republican groups are running on your behalf, not the ones that you are paying for? Vern from Hudson.
Well, they're provocative ads that go after Delgado's rap career. There's no doubt about it. But the words that he authored in those lyrics are provocative as well. And so... I think, again, this is something that he should explain what he means and whether he still subscribes to the political views that he authored in those words. And it doesn't matter if it's rap music or if it's folk music or if it's poetry or if it's an opera libretto, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little go on with Antonio Delgado because, after all, he has no record in this district. He literally just moved into this district in March or April of 2017. Bought a house, a week later signed up to run for Congress. He's never lived or worked in this district in his entire adult life, or his entire life. He grew up in Schenectady, which is not in the district, but he only recently came here. So it is just like my record and my words and my votes are subject to critique and criticism. The bare record we have of his involvement in public affairs are the lyrics that he authored, which express some very controversial views.
Okay, very good.